Good to see those out this morning, and hopefully as we continue to look at our thoughts that you'll be encouraged as a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, that you would also be encouraged to become a Christian. And maybe if you have fallen by the wayside, that it would encourage you to get up and come to Jesus and be back into that good relationship with Him. If you note, last Sunday we began and looking at some scriptures and looking at some thoughts, and that was to be a courageous people. Realizing that Joshua said, "Fear not, be of good courage." And we talked about the need for courageous young people. And then on Sunday evening, we talked about the need for courageous parents. And certainly as we have looked at those, we realize that there are other things in which that we need to be very courageous about. And we're going to talk about that we need courageous evangelists. We need those in which that are willing to teach what the Bible teaches. We need those who are willing to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent. We find many times in the scripture that where instructions was given to those who were proclaimers of God's word. We find in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And certainly when we find that and realizing the charge that we have as those who are teachers or those who are preachers, maybe there's not too much difference in a teacher and a preacher. Maybe one just hollers louder than the other. But as we find in our study, realizing the need for courageous evangelists, courageous preachers, we find that God had given instructions in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. And if you look there and you'll find word that Isaiah 58:1, hear that God said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and tell or show the people of their transgressions and Jacob of their sins." We find today that so many times that people do not want their sin pointed out. They do not want you to say that this thing is sin or that thing is sin. No, they want you to say, "Well, that's the way of life. That's the way in which that we are today. Today is different than back then." Not realizing that God's word has never become out of date. Sometimes, you know, we see a book that we say, "Oh, I wish I had that book." And when you begin to sin for it or you begin to want that book, you'll notice back that it's out of print. But you know, God's word is not out of print. God's word is not outdated. When we find that in the commission in which that Paul sent Timothy on, in the sense of warning him and giving him a charge, he said, "This charge is not by the church. This charge is not by me. This charge is before God." And when we realize that charge before God, he said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach what you want to, Timothy." That was the instructions that was given to him. He said, "You preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall be heaped to themselves teachers, having itching ears, And they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. For the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. If you will notice that Paul's instruction was for him to preach the word. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, out to teach patience. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, that a God preventer will give them knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, when men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you know any people like that? Well, certainly Paul was not telling Timothy, now Timothy, this is going to happen 2,000 years from now, no. Timothy was a young man. And Paul was warning him that these things is going to happen. And I do believe that those things was going to happen in the life of Timothy. It was not going to be 2,000 years down the road. The last days, when did it begin anyway? The last day began on Pentecost following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2. That's when the last days began. But he says that we need to be courageous. We need to speak the word of God. We need to let people know what sin is. Too many times we find people who simply want to hear what they've already done. Right? Sure it is. It doesn't make us uncomfortable to hear repent and be baptized for remission of sin because that's what we've already done. Doesn't make us uncomfortable. And so many times, many people want to come to a service in which that doesn't give them any discomfort. We need to realize that growing pains are good for us. They help us to grow and mature and be what God wants us to be. It's sort of like sitting in a situation where that all you have to eat is bread and water. You probably wouldn't gain very much weight on that, would you? But if it said you were that you could have any kind of eat, any kind of meat that you wanted to, fruits or vegetables, whatever it may be, and you could eat and stuff yourself full and still be food left over, probably you'd gain weight, wouldn't you? Why cannot we be like that with the Word of God? Why cannot we eat and consume the Word of God and fill our souls with it? We can get fat, we might say, on the Word of God. That we can mature and that we can grow. So as evangelists, as preachers and as teachers, we need those who are very courageous, who is willing to tell people what their sins are and what It means whenever that we are failing and need those in which that will tell us of our priorities. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Sometimes we let our priorities go in the wrong direction. It's no longer God number one. It's me. I want to do what I like to do. I want to go where I want to go. And God has no control. We shouldn't be like that as Christians. And as the prayer was led, remember when talking about the Lord's Supper, how that Jesus gave himself a sacrifice for us. We need to know that. And we need to believe that. But so many times we're not willing to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Kind of reminds you of the pig and the chicken going to a party. As they were walking down the road, heading that direction, the chicken said to the pig, "You know, we didn't bring anything." And so the pig said, "Well, what are we going to do?" The hen said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll lay an egg and you can give them some bacon." And the pig said to her, he said, "Well, that comes easy for you, but for me it's going to be a sacrifice." So many times we fail to know what our responsibilities is and what our priorities are. Our priority should be to God. God should come first in our lives. But so many times we don't let that happen. So many times we let other things take place of God. Now just suppose you're standing at the day of judgment and someone else or something takes place of Jesus, the one who can rescue you, the one who can save you from hell, and he's not there. Something else just took its place. He can't say well because he's not there. And the only other place left is hell. I'm sure you don't want to go there. I'm sure you don't want to. No person in their right mind that knows anything or very much about the Bible wants to go to hell. No person does. Oh, they may, you know, think they're macho and sometimes they say, "I don't care if I do go to hell." You know, that's just speaking with their mouth, but deep down within their heart, they don't want to go there. They don't want to go there. They're just trying to brush it off. We may laugh. We may make fun of what God says. But you know, when it comes right down to it, you're going to have to face it. Whatever God says about it, that's it. You're not going to change whatever God says. And sometimes we see, and you look at people, and those kind of people, some of them are just going to laugh their way right into hell. Because they don't care what God says. They don't care. But I can tell you one thing, once they get there, they wish they had done something different in their lives. How many times have we made mistakes in our lives that we wish that we could go back and correct and redo, but we can't? Very few people probably would not want to go back and redo anything. I heard one person say, he said, "If I had my life to live over, I'd live it exactly the way that I lived it." Now that's sin a lot. That's sin a lot. But we need people who are willing to tell people what they need to do in order to go to heaven. Sometimes you visit with places, churches, and you leave there, you're not still not knowing what it takes to be saved from your past sin. Oh, you have a good time. People get up and they shout. But people still don't know what it means or what it takes for one to go to heaven. But we need courageous evangelists, Bible teachers, that's willing to stand up for what the truth is, regardless of what the consequences may bring. We need to speak the truth in love. You know, Ephesians 4:15, Paul said, but speak the truth in love. That's why we speak the truth. To speak it in love. Because as Christians, we must have a love for every soul if we're going to have the mind of Christ. We must. We can't turn our nose up at individuals and say, oh, they're not worth nothing. We can't do that. They have a soul that's worth more than all the world. And we can't do that as a Christian. We may not like what they do. We may not even like how they smell, but still realize they've got a soul that needs to be saved. And every one of us, every Christian is to be a teacher of God's word. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 8 when great persecution came upon the church? He says, they that were scattered abroad. Who is the they? It's not the churches, no. It's those who were being persecuted. They that were scattered abroad. Whenever we're preaching the word. That's what they did. They went everywhere preaching the word. And so many times we go into so many different places. I know some places, you know, the minorities got it where we have to keep our mouth shut. You can't talk about the Lord. You can't mention the Lord to people. Because you're pushing your religion on other people. The thing about it is, we speak to people, we talk to people, and as a Christian, as a teacher of God's word, we have a responsibility to tell them about the Lord. You see, so many times we find that there are those out there who, I guess they sort of want to be recognized, and they'll push and march. They call it a religious rite sometimes. And sometimes we find people who go into dangerous territory. I don't know why they do that, but they do. And they think, well, that's what God wants you to do. But what did Jesus teach in Matthew 10? He said, if you go into a city and you're persecuted, he said, flee from that city and go to another one. The Lord doesn't want us to just, you know, stubbornly walk into a situation and stick our head out on the chop block and say, now you chop it, it won't come home. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to use wisdom. And sometimes it's best not to speak than to speak. Sometimes it may be best just to walk away, because you can cause some rebellious attitudes toward what God says. And especially if there's, don't know if you want to use the term or not, devils standing by. The devil will assist and help every way possible to keep a person from responding to what the truth is. He'll do everything possible. Everything possible. Cause you to think about different things, different ideas. Well, my way is the best way. The devil gets you to thinking that, then you're lost, and you're going to be lost forever if you don't change. Our attitude should be God's way is the best way. Sometimes you find people say, well, you know, I got a lot of things I got to get worked out before I ever become a Christian. Don't try to live a Christian life before you ever become one, because you can't. It's not possible. The way of man is not in himself. It's not there. You're not smart enough. You're not wise enough to live a life toward God good enough to go to heaven without being what God wants you to be. You just can't do it. Can't do it. We might make a good neighbor. We might make a good friend. But if we're not a Christian, it's sad. And it's going to be sad. We can let other things in our life take away the most valuable thing that we have in our possession. You see, you're the one who has control over your soul, what you're going to do with it. But in the end, the Lord's going to have control. So if you don't push the right button now, you won't be able to then. And when the Lord knocks at your heart, you turn him away, your heart's going to continue to get harder and harder and harder. And when you know that you need to do what's right, you need to do it now, not tomorrow. I'll do it next week. No. God's never promised you next week. What you do now can determine your destination in eternity. Because now is the only time you have. We make plans. Nothing wrong with making plans. But we need to include God in it. If it's your will, Lord, we'll do this for that. Are you ready for judgment? And as a teacher, as a preacher, God's word has given out warnings to individuals, knowing that when we speak, we are to speak as the oracles of God. What God has said about it. Not what I think. Not what you think. What does God say? Hopefully that you have understood some things that I've said. And hoping that if you're not a Christian, that you will become one. Because the Lord died so you could. As though if he was the only person in the world, the Lord died for you. He died for you. Why not come, believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing his name and be baptized for the remission of sins. And if you've erred by the wayside, you need to come to God.
Let the Lord cleanse you. Make you holy.
You're ready for heaven then if you do what the Lord says. While together we stand, sing a song selected.